Praise the Lord. Amen. Does everybody say that name, Jesus? Jesus. Come on, again. Jesus. I'm breathing like I just ran a couple miles, so hang in there. I experienced a horrible setback last week with my health. So my prayer was, Lord, don't let me go home now. I need to finish my work. And don't let me have to go back to the hospital. Amen. How many of y'all had to stay in the hospital before? No fun. Those beds are horrible. But at least it's a bed, huh? Gee. But I'm here to give you a really important message, especially, you know, those of you who were here last Sunday. Something really important happened last Sunday. Can everybody hear me? Okay. All right. Something really emphatic happened on a topic. But it's we have a guest here. Hey, Betty, it's good to see you. Hopefully I can meet you afterwards. Thank you for coming. That's a fine lady you're sitting next to, Kristen. Can you all welcome our guest? Say hey. You know, we read scriptures, you know, when we're weak, God is strong. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to have to step out in that. But when I began to minister last Sunday, the word, I shared the vision, how that Jesus came and to live in a house, and he was this big and the house was this small. He had to shrink down in size to live in a house, and he couldn't do or be all that he wanted to do and be in that small house. And the small house represented people, us, individually, and churches. You go to some churches, you don't even experience Jesus. It's horrible. Some, they don't even sing about him. They don't even worship him. Nonetheless, they don't even see or get to experience what he's there to do. Prophecies, encouragement, healings, miracles. But he brought this vision to us because he's come and he's like, I want to be a bigger Jesus in your life and in your church. Will you let me? Will you embrace me? Will you open your arms with a childlike faith and let me be the same Jesus you read about in the Bible? He came to his own hometown. They knew he did signs, wonders. They heard about it. They knew it. But they stumbled. They're like, isn't this the Jesus that just grew up with us? They just saw him in his humanity. They didn't know he was God, Emmanuel, in a human body. And so he was greatly limited because of their unbelief, their unwillingness to receive him. I don't want that in my life. I thank God for the miracles he's done through me in touching other people's lives that has touched other people's lives. But there's more. There's a bigger Jesus available in my life, in this church. Amen? Do you want a bigger Jesus in your life? You have to not worry about what other people think. You can't be ashamed of this Jesus. You got to let him be who he wants to be. Amen? We're to go and to preach this gospel, the gospel of Jesus, without change, the same Jesus. We're to make disciples and to teach them. This is what Jesus said to do. But when the Lord touches an area of our life, it's time to stop, pay attention. Because he doesn't just know what's on your heart. He knows what's in your heart. And there are things that we talk to the Lord about. Lord, this is on our heart. We want, we desire. Yes, Lord. But then he says, I need to deal with this thing in your heart before we can go with what's on your heart. Amen? This is the most I've talked in a while. Oh, yeah, I thought about your mama. Her mom. What it takes for her to come to church. Her bones are not much at all. Paralyzed, and she comes when she can. Took a lot for me to get here today. Really hard. I don't like setbacks. And I thought, you know, if I can get up and go to my doctor's appointment out of necessity, I can get up and get to God's house. The possibilities in God's house are much greater than what's at the doctor's appointment, right? I'm going to get the saints to lay hands on me and release the power. I want to live, right? We should go. We should be able to go to God's house when we're down and out, to get up and right, when we're sick, to be well, shouldn't we? The glory of God is available for people to be healed when they walk in the doors. It's there for us. This is a great God we serve, isn't it? Is anybody being stirred up? Gee whiz. So, in the Old Testament, Jesus, before he became flesh, appeared to them pre-incarnate ways. But he appeared to them as, who remembers, when God delivered them out of Egypt, right? God appeared to them in a what? A pillar of cloud by what? Day? And what by night? Pillar of fire. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the clouds settled, what did they do? They settled. Then the instructions for the tabernacle, right? The tent of meeting, symbol of God's presence. Then the Ark of the Covenant and all of that. He said he was going to lead them to the promised land. My friend Will and I, he started it. Talks about dots. Let's connect the dots. right? But all they knew was the promised land. Where they came out of when God put a dot, and I'm going to get you there, but he took them a different route, went in a straight line. Their job was to follow that pillar of cloud. And when it stopped, they were to pay attention and to do what the issue was before they moved on. Really important. You don't break ahead of God to try to do what he's called you to do. God's given us a vision, prophetic words concerning his will, we could say the promised land. But we're on a journey. Last couple Sundays, we experienced like an open heaven, glorious presence of the Lord, powerful. Can I tell you, that's only half of what I've been experiencing with the Lord in my encounters, some of them. What is to come? Y'all, twice as much, if not three, than what we experience. Well, when I was ministering here last Sunday, and I finished talking about the vision, my heart with the Lord, was ready to roll into the glory and to talk about what are the ingredients for us to host God's presence. And one of those is very important, that we honor God with our praise, with our songs. When we come in here, it's not songs about us. I need you more, you know. We don't do that first. We honor God first. We learn as his priesthood, Lord, songs that give the glory to his name. We exalt his name. We worship at his footstool. That's the proper order of the priesthood. Deuteronomy 10:8, the Levite, I think that's the right verse. They carried the presence of God and they ministered to him first. Then he ministered to them and they carried this presence to other people. Really important, the proper order. God promised Eli a longevity of the priesthood. He promised him that. But Eli had two horrible sons that weren't doing right. God said, sent a prophet to him. Indeed, I promised you this, Eli, but far be it from me now to do that. Whoever honors me, I will honor. But whoever dishonors me, I will lightly esteem. He said, Eli, you honored your sons more than me. And God took away his promise. And both his sons were killed in battle. And one day, Eli, overweight, fell over backwards, broke his neck, and died. A woman gave birth to a child, died, named her child Ichabod. The glory has departed because they would not honor God. If we're going to host his presence, we need to honor God. First, foremost, one way I'll honor God is I will treat my wife like Jesus would. One way I honor God, when the Holy Spirit says, don't share that yet. Go this way. If I do that, I've honored him. If I don't, I've dishonored him. And when I dishonor him, I quench the Holy Spirit. We will not have the glory. It won't happen. When God said, don't go that way, that Sunday, and I physically felt my weight, which isn't much, lifted. And the Holy Spirit carried me into a whole nother issue of dealing with hurts, offenses. And so the Lord, the pillar of cloud, stopped. Before you go any further talking about my glory, we need to deal with unforgiveness in our hearts, hurts, anger, offenses. Whether that anger is towards God for what he allowed, towards a parent, someone in the world, church leadership, or someone in the body, it don't matter. Matthew 18, Jesus said, offenses will come. Make no mistake about it. And the Lord began to talk to us about that. And he said, you've been hurt. I've been hurt. My wife and I, we've been hurt really bad. Betrayed. Things by people in the church. There's a Judas that betrayed us. Even with a kiss on my cheek, it would floor you. Church secretary calling people, soliciting, what don't you like about Pastor Raphael? All that. Next to my office, making those calls, sowing discord. Her husband, the Sunday school superintendent, threatened to harm my life physically. It's a big man. Crazy things. You unheard of. Why would God lead me to that church in Missouri? Well, we know now, in part, it was to deliver the majority of the people who were under the oppressive state and spirit of religion and didn't even know it. By about a handful of five people. It was crazy. So I'm not going to go into all of that. We were done wrong. But the Lord delivered 85, 90% of that people and set them free. And we had a new church. That church today is still going strong. After the Lord said, your work is finished, we were there 4 years, 3 years with the new church. They all felt like they were born again. Isn't that something? Delivered from oppression and a bad spirit and control by about five people. Later, in that, if you want to call it a church, more like a synagogue of Satan. After we left, it was horrible. A new pastor came. All he had there was about 25 people. The other 200, the born-again ones, were with us and having Jesus revealed to them. It's beautiful. But back to this one, in about a year's time, the district had to come in and he removed the ringleaders finally. The deception was finally uncovered. You know, none of those people, not one, ever came to Rhonda and I, humbled themselves, and apologized. Not one. You cannot wait for people to come to you and say, I'm sorry, before you release forgiveness, because they may never come. It's important to do what Jesus said. Last week, Matthew 18, if someone sins against you, you go to them. Show them their fault. If they acknowledge that, apologize, you've gained your brother or sister. If not, take another one with you so that every word is established by two or three witnesses, and hopefully they'll listen to you so you can be reconciled. But you're not always to do that towards someone. Some people, they perceive they've been wronged, and it's not always right. And they would be going to a lot of people, you did this to me. The other option is in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, 26. If someone sinned against you, while you're praying, you remember someone hurt you. Forgive them. You don't go to them. You forgive them. If you have anything against anyone because a complaint, they've wronged you, Jesus said, forgive them. Release it. And one thing I've learned in the parable of the unforgiving servant, the king forgave this guy a debt he couldn't pay, representative of what God forgave us. When you look behind you, what God forgave you of, your sin, you'll see a lake of fire, eternal damnation. He forgave you your debt and freed you from that. Y'all, there's nothing bigger. There's no offense bigger than that. When I was struggling to forgive my dad the things he did against me, my breakthrough was that perspective. When I realized the enormous debt I've been forgiven by God, what it cost him to forgive me, the death of his son, and what he freed me from, all of a sudden, this huge offense that my dad did to me got that small. It wasn't that big anymore. And I said, I can forgive him. Set me free. To this day, he's still alive. He's not once apologized. And yet, we're like this. Not to the full extent it could have been. But it's all good. That's the power of Christ, isn't it? The power of forgiveness. I don't have those ill feelings in my heart. The pillar of cloud got to go forward, and I get to move forward in more freedom. into greater experiences with God. So, if we don't forgive, we get stuck. Back to the parable, the unforgiving servant. He went and found someone who owed him. The debt he owed him was so much smaller than the one the king just forgave him. And he grabbed the guy by the throat, "Pay me what you owe me. Oh, please, have mercy." He was doing to him what he had just done to the king. The king gave him mercy, but he wouldn't give him mercy. The king's servants saw that, went back and told on him. He was brought before the king. "You wicked servant. You wicked servant. I forgave you that great debt. Shouldn't you have done the same thing?" And he was put in prison to be turned over to the tormentors until he could pay the last penny, which he wouldn't be able to do. Jesus made a startling statement after saying that. After the king delivered this unforgiving to tormentors, Jesus said, "So will my Father also do to you if you, from your heart, do not forgive those who sin against you." Jesus said that. That means when there's unforgiveness, there's an element of torment in our own lives, and we're stuck. Last Sunday, even if it was for one person, but I believe it was for more, even as small as we are right now, the pillar of cloud stopped. The Holy Spirit said, "I want to go here. I want to camp here for another week or two and give my people time to release forgiveness. And I want to heal them of their hurts, pain." I'd like for you to look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Really, really important element here when we're struggling. You know, I know this is not a hip hip hooray message, but it's very vital, you know that, because it will lead us into freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Now listen to this. It doesn't mean you're liberated right there on the spot. He's there at the door. If he leads you to this place of revealing something in your heart that needs to go, liberty is at the door. If you walk through it, life, fullness of joy, freedom, it's right there. If you and I will obey the truth. But this is the good news. You know, I don't get angry at the Lord often. I don't give myself that liberty. He's perfect in a good way. He's harmless. He never does us wrong. Never. Even when he allows us to be tested. His intentions are good. His intentions are always to do us good in the end. That's Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's James chapter 5. God's intentions for why he allowed, even caused Job to suffer. Yes, caused. The last chapter in Genesis of that story, in Job, says God caused. It's beyond our comprehension. But it says, you've seen the end intended by the Lord in Job's story. There are parts of that story none of us understand. You won't. Why did he allow that and his sons and daughters to be killed when that thing this devil did? The other day, this setback, very frustrating to me. Lord, you called me Raphael. You said there's a healed man. I've been holding on. I come with faith to be healed, and I'm expecting month after month, year after year. It's 20 years. You called me, and I'm going in the opposite direction. And I'm crying, what's this all about? Why? Let me finish my race. We struggle in these moments. But God is never to be blamed. There is a purpose higher. His thoughts much higher than ours. When we need to tap into understanding the way of the Lord. If we are not reading the word, or just listen to the level of what the word calls milk and not the meat of the word, we're going to stay immature in the understanding of the ways of the Lord, and we'll take offense at God because we don't understand the ways of the Lord. We must grow in the knowledge of God, not just his will, but the way, how he works. Really important. That's why so many of the Israelites didn't make it into the promised land. And they kept complaining against God and his leadership, and they fell short. Except Joshua and Caleb, they were of a more excellent spirit. They kept believing God. They understood what was going on. They understood the testings, the trials. They knew God said, I'm going to get you to that dot. Those two got to get there. The others didn't. In 1 Peter chapter 1, really good news here. Verse 22, since you have purified your heart, your souls, look at this, in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, let us love one another. fervently with a pure heart. You all, if Jesus has called us to love our enemies, how much more our brothers and sisters? If we're struggling with loving one another in the midst of our differences, dislikes, offenses, how will we ever get to the place of loving our enemies? How many of you watching the Chosen series? If you're not, you're missing something fabulous. Start at the beginning. But at this, they've just finished this, the episode. Judas Iscariot is now among the Chosen. Jesus knows he's going to betray him. And you get to behold how Jesus is with someone he knows is going to betray him. And Jesus is the same. He's still good to his enemy, a son of the devil. Amazing. Beloved, this is the good news. Since your soul, when there's unforgiveness, all of a sudden it begins to be impure. There is like a dark cloud in there. The way for our soul to get purified and to stay pure is to keep, what does it say? Obeying the what? The truth, the gospel, Jesus' words. See, when someone's offended, they don't obey the truth. So many, they go tell somebody, you know what so-and-so did to me? How can they do that? And now they're gossiping. They're doing everything but the truth. And they stay immature. And they're defiling themselves. And the people who listen to them are beginning defiled. All of a sudden, if that gossip is about me, you who see me in color right now, I love Pastor Raphael. Oh, he's not perfect, but we see Christ. All of a sudden, if you listen to that pollution, you will not see me in color anymore. I'll start becoming like a dark figure. Ooh, he's really done that? I don't like him so much anymore. Then it will be hard for you to hear when I'm preaching to you. The devil, he is the dis in disunity, D-I-S. He's the devil, I, instigating, S, separation, disunity. The devil's scheme is to incite one person against another to cause separation. Where God has called us to be unified into oneness with him, the devil, his plot and scheme is to disunify. He instigates separation. He will plant a thought in your mind, an accusation, and it begins to spread. And all of a sudden, a people living in color, unified, the glory of God, begins to get fragmented. And unless it stops, you can write Ichabod. The glory is departed. The devil got the victory. And that's why we, in Ephesians 4, verse 2, are called to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. When you have a thought that comes against somebody in your mind, the word of truth casts it down. Don't listen to the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. Put your foot over him and love one another. And here's the good news. Back to our 1 Peter scripture. Our soul will be purified of being critical. Are we hearing this? A critical soul is in bad shape. The Bible says, don't use bad language. Say only what's good and helpful to those you're talking to. What will give them a blessing? One way people say, oh, I forgave that person. But when you listen to the way they talk about them, you're like, you have not forgiven. Listen, if you forgave somebody a debt of $1,000 and you keep going to somebody, other people, hey, he owes me $1,000. You know what he did? He took this and it broke. He never paid me back. Oh, but I forgave him. No, you didn't. If you forgave, listen, does God keep bringing your faults back up to you if he forgave you? Yes or no? That's forgiveness. If you keep bringing a thought up, you haven't forgiven. Not the way God has. When you forgive a debt, it's forgiven. And if you're going to forgive freely the way God forgave you, it's not an issue anymore. Now, here's the beautiful thing. In obeying the truth, forgive as just like I forgave you through the Spirit. Y'all, we have a helper. When you and I are struggling, God, I can't forgive them. That hurt me so much. You have a helper. The Holy Spirit. Greek means one called alongside to help you. Jesus, in our translation of the Bible, said, the helper will come. You can't live this gospel on your own strength. That's why, first things first, if any man or woman is going to come after me, you want to go where I'm going? If you come after me, you must first what? Deny yourself. Yourself will never forgive. It will always hold a grudge, pay back. So you and I can't follow Jesus if we don't deny ourselves. Embrace the helper. So in Missouri, I discovered I can obey the truth by denying myself. Holy Spirit, help me. I'm really hurt over this, what they did. Sometimes I'm sobbing. It hurt. You have to be real. God desires truth in the inward part. admit. See, you cannot be forgiven your sin unless you come to God and admit you've sinned and then confess it. When you do, what does he do? He forgives and cleanses, restores. God cannot heal your hurt unless you come to him, admit, I'm hurt. Heal me. Comfort me. And you'll find the Holy Spirit, the helper. He does what God promised. He comforts you. He does a healing. You all, by the Holy Spirit, I was able to forgive my offenders like God forgave me. And I told you before, I think it was a month later, I was in prayer in the sanctuary. Those people came back up, and I found myself by the Holy Spirit, Lord, have mercy on him. There was no ill feelings. I was free. But I found myself praying and asking God to bless them. Can you all say, that's God? That's God. To God be the glory. Only he can do that. And my soul was purified. It felt so good. I'm going to finish with this story, okay? Can I finish with a story?
You don't hear my lungs?
I'd like to, if I had my pearls, I had one of the most wonderful encounters during that time period, vision. I was home alone. I had the Bible. I was going to spend a moment with the Lord. And I felt by the Holy Spirit, the Lord say, I'm going to give you another encounter. I got excited. So I went to the table. This time, I chose to sit down. Normally, I would just get on my back, put my instrumental music on. No words. Sometimes words, they'll interfere with what the message. So I have an instrumental. I want to hear the Lord. He's going to have an encounter with Jesus. And he put Psalm 16. So I read that psalm. And it talks in the end about the path of life. Well, he was setting me up. So I closed my Bible. The music's on. I postured myself in the chair at the table and waited. All of a sudden, it's like watching a movie. I'm brought into this encounter. And the Lord took me from the first encounter, reminiscing. I'm like, oh, we're reviewing. And I get to see myself in the vision. I don't see Jesus yet. It's just me. And I'm having flashbacks. And we get to, one of them was a scene of a coffin. That was another vision. Telling me the old ways that was good, that bore fruit. I want you to die to that. I'm going to bring you into a new way of ministering. So we get to the coffin. In my head, in my natural body, wanting to go, let's keep going. Lord, let's go to the next vision we had. But he wouldn't go. So it looks like we're going to the coffin scene again. Lord, what are we doing here? And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared. Probably right about where Randy, raise your hand, Randy. Say, about this distance, okay? There he is. The coffin's here. And Jesus, he's standing there. He says, come on, Raphael. Let's go. Let's go onward. I said, I can't. He said, why? What's troubling you? Of course, he knew. I said, I'm still frustrated and upset. Now, y'all, this is after I had these experiences in Missouri and a wonderful freedom. Some new things happened. But I think there was a lingering individual that escaped my forgiveness. I said, I'm upset. And the Lord said, Raphael, I said, you have to die to those things and let them go if we're going to go forward. Will you help me? Then he comes to me and he takes out this white, like light white cloth, and he wipes a tear. But then he takes it and he wipes my heart. And we looked at it, there was a little dark spot. Something was impure. Some more unforgiveness, hurt. And this was wild. So I'm standing there. The Holy Spirit's in me, and I'm watching this. So I'm seeing me in the vision. The Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, takes this safe lock box. Back when I was about 10, 11, you ever seen those kids, safe lock box? Little combination, you know, they could put their coins in there, a dollar bill, makes them feel big. This is my bank, you know. He took that out of my heart, like representing my heart. And he walks over here, and he puts it down on the floor. There's the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked back over there. And the Holy Spirit looks at me, looking for my consent, if he can open up that door. Only I knew the combination too. Nobody can get in my heart except me and who I give permission to, right? He's such a gentleman. I didn't have to give him the combination. He knows all things. And he opened up that safe lock box. You know what came out? Three dark figures. And they were like afraid of me because I was upset at them for what they did to me. But it was like in the presence of God. And it was like they wanted to run from me. I'm like, Lord, they were nameless, faceless. What is this? These are individuals that have become dark in your heart, in your vision. They're not in color anymore because you're holding unforgiveness. You've gotten angry at them. He said, son, to me, they're in color. Lord, what do I do? The scene shifted. all of a sudden, there's God's face right here looking that way, and there's me, and now I'm a dark figure inside of God because of my sins. And I start running from the wrath of God. And all of a sudden, the cross with Jesus on it appeared in between me and angry God. And I watched God's whole countenance change to loving graciousness, favor, because of what Jesus did for me. And all of a sudden, I'm in color, beautiful color, in the sight of God. He said, "Son, my forgiveness towards you through what Christ did is the same towards these three dark figures. And I want you to forgive them just like I did. And your countenance to be towards them just like mine changed towards you." Y'all, isn't this powerful? The next scene, all five of us, those three, me and Jesus, we're in a circle of unity, oneness. All of us had a white robe underneath. Over that was red, because the blood of Jesus cleansed us. On top of that was a purple robe of royalty, priesthood. Jesus had his arms around the one, me, and the offenders. We were all in color. He gave me, that's his prayer in Gethsemane before the cross, that they would be one. One. No separation. No unforgiveness. No anger. No walls. Just as we are one. I knew the Lord really put this on my heart. God gave me grace to come today to share this important word because he wants to heal, restore. He's saying, "I'm providing liberty this day if you will come, admit your hurt, there's anger towards somebody or others, unforgiveness. So that he can heal that. The Holy Spirit, he does a supernatural producing. You can't in and of yourself, but with him you can. All things are possible. And you'll experience life. He's giving us a path of life. When we do that, the pillar of cloud will lift. Say, let's go to the next step in our journey. Amen. So what do we do now? This is summer new. This altar, a place of sacrifice, our self-sacrifice. We We deny ourselves. It's a place where God meets with us, does wonders. It's where you can come to Jesus, be honest with him, and ask him to do what only you can do. If you need to forgive, it starts with a verbal confession from your heart by faith in obedience to the truth. You say, Father, the feelings aren't there. By faith, I'm obeying the truth. Holy Spirit, help me. You look at that person in your imagination. You say, with the love of God, being forgiven myself, I forgive you from my heart. You don't tell them how much they hurt you. You look to God, say, Lord, now I come to you. I need you to heal my heart. This is where I'm hurting. Admit that and say, here I am. And he will minister to you. Amen. Now, who's encouraged today? Who wants to take the path of life? Amen. Let's put some music on. I'm going to pray. Thank you for being patient with me today. Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving your servant strength. Those that have prayed for me to give your message today. Lord, we want to move on, but first, we're here in obedience to why we are camping here for a moment. I ask now that your Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance, like you did with me, any dark figures. Help them to forgive. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come. Y'all come to the altar. Come, meet with God. It could be something 20 years ago. Come. Come to Jesus. Let him have his way so we can move on. Lord, help us to die to these things. And those of you, your heart's pure. There's no conviction anywhere. Feel free to come and minister. But let them have their time alone with the Lord right now. Everybody just... your time alone with the Lord right now. Just you and the Father and Jesus. Talk to him. You have to voice it. Whisper it. Put a voice to your feelings. Let yourself grieve. Let yourself cry. Let yourself feel. Put a voice to your feelings. Talk to your Abba. He loves you. Give it to him. In Jesus' name.